Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey you guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. Please enjoy this classic clip, which is available in full at patreon.com/Steel Wars.
Yeah. I'm interested, George Lucas was a guy that was sort of disenfranchised with the way the movie studios worked.
Yeah.
And so set up his own company and did his own thing.
Yeah.
And I guess in a way, you know, with the hundreds, you mm-hmm. could have gone and worked, you know, there's hundreds of clothing companies in LA.
Yeah.
That you could have worked for. Like, he sort of created something that ended up becoming even more work for him
yeah.
than he ever thought it would be. And it became this massive thing. And in a way, and I'm not saying this with 100, but for him, it became the thing that he kind of was rallying against. Mm-hmm. He became like mm-hmm. a big time studio.
Yeah.
And I always find, which is another thing altogether, is that he started as a rebel filmmaker.
Yeah.
And then like he relied on technology.
Yeah.
Whereas he started as an Ewok.
Yeah.
Ended up as like an ATS, you know, and the film suffered for it. Yeah. But do you sort of relate to that, like that you've started something yeah. which is sort of meant to rebel?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it's like, oh, this is getting big. How do
yeah.
we,
yeah, yeah.
How do we not become that company that we're like, let's not be like them?
Yeah. It's a recurring story, I think, in any successful business, especially if someone, especially for an independent, usually independents start off responding or reacting to what came before, like the dominant hegemony around them, whether it's an industry or whether it's what their parents told them that was right, or a boss told them this is how you do it. And there's just like a certain type of person, I guess I'm one of them, where you just want something different. It just never really... Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't really ever for you, you know, and you just want to create your own way and your own path. Like, my wife always jokes around with me because, like, I wouldn't be able to work for anybody else. I'm such a difficult person. Even my, with Ben, my partner, it's like pulling nails trying to get me to do anything. I just can't be told what to do. I want to do it my own way. I always think I know how to do it better. As an artist, I think I know how to make something look prettier and more tolerable. And so I think all of these stories, these amazing creative entrepreneurial type stories, inspirational stories, they began the same way with the same idea and the same ethos. And at a certain point, you just look up and you realize you've become that guy, you know, and that just comes with age and it comes with money and it comes with power. And you realize you're starting to become that guy that you fought against, or you're starting to become that company that was against everything, that was everything that you were against when you were starting out. And it's an uncomfortable, it's a very uncomfortable feeling, you know, especially for someone like me. I have a big conscience and like I believe in integrity and being honest and authentic. And so what I've just been doing over the years is just talking our audience through that, you know, and saying like, look, we are selling to these kinds of stores now for these reasons. Look, my company has changed. You know, it's not just Ben and I being angry artists in the back of a studio somewhere on a street that no one's heard about. Now we have attention and now we have this platform. And you know, I've always believed that to whom much is given, much is required. And now I want to take care of people. And I have people here who are dependent on me for a livelihood, and I'm responsible to them. These are my friends and these are my family. I have children now who come before me. You know, these are things I never understood when I was starting a company at 23. And now that I'm 34 and I have children and I have a family, like, that comes first, you know, and everything I do is for them. They're the ones who are going to be with me throughout my whole life. So, yeah, I mean, in some ways I can see that happening, but at the same time, the best I can do to, I guess, balance that and leverage it is to remain authentic and honest and communicative with the audience and be like, look, this is what we're going through right now. This is what we're deciding to do. It's a choice that we're making. If you're not on board, thank you so much for your support over the years, and we appreciate everything you've done for us. I understand if you want to find something else that suits your tastes. Here are some brands that are along those lines that we support, that we believe in, and we feel like we're doing what we were doing when we started, but we're a different company now. I'm a different person now. Like, I've changed. People change. People grow up. People get better. I feel like we're just better. I feel like we're smarter. Like, we've figured it out. And so all that charm of the rawness and that independent spirit that we had, we don't have that anymore. How can we? We're 11 years old now, but along with that 11 years, we're industry veterans, or we're knowledgeable, or we have a legacy now. We have a library of stuff that we've created that we can play on. And, you know, now we're just a part of the bigger system and the bigger picture. And, like, I appreciate that. I think it's actually kind of cool.
Now, I'm, again, with the parallel, like, a lot of people, you know, the classic term that George Lucas gets from internet warriors is, you've raped my childhood.
Yeah.
Which is, it's so, he filled your childhood with joy. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's people that loved your brand in the first 5 years, and then it's like, because you have to make those decisions.
Yes.
Do you relate to that?
I can definitely relate to that. And I think it's a double-sided, success is a double-sided sword, right? Like, that's the ugly side of what comes along with having such popularity and such attention thrown on you. What I realized over the years was that I always considered this my project, it was a story of my life and what I wanted and how I visualized a brand. And over the years, when people were getting it tattooed on them, like our logo, our mascot, or just the word of the hundreds, and my friends would ask me how I felt about that. They'd say, like, oh, you know, that's kind of crazy. People are tattooing it on them. I was like, yeah, that is weird, because I would never do that. And what I grew to understand was that the hundreds meant something different to them than it did to me. It started becoming a part of their life experience, couched with their life's narrative, in the context of their family, their friends, their experiences, their youth. And, you know, the rapper YG, he has an atom bomb on his arm. Did he grow up the same way I did? Does he love Star Wars? Did he create a company like this? No. But atom bomb, for whatever reason, at that time when he decided to get it tattooed on him, it meant something to him. It just struck a chord that it would never mean to me. So what I was forced to accept was that it wasn't just my creation. It was something that I had to share, and I was a fan of as much as everybody else. But what I brought to the table, how I interpreted it, was different along, you know, how you would see it or how someone else would interpret it. And that's hard as an artist and as a creative and as a visionary. You think that you're creating your thing and it's all about you and it's selfish, and then realizing, nope, you're sharing it with everybody else just how they're all sharing it. And it's what it means to you is not necessarily what it means to somebody else. I can understand that. I definitely empathize. And then at the same time, I also just had to kind of be like, you know what? Screw everybody. You know, like, this is, at the end of the day, it's what I want to do. If I want to do it this way, I'm just going to keep going that way. And I have to believe that at the end of the day, the reason why people love the hundred so much is not because it has such a likable mascot, not just because we make, you know, nice, cool clothes. It's really because they're somehow connecting with me as a person and as an individual. And so as long as I stay true to that and I'm not, you know, curating my life story to fit more along someone else's life story, I think that we're going to still maintain some kind of resonance with our audience. But I think that's just a part of creating something that people love. You know, they're going to incorporate it into their life and their perspective, and there's nothing you can do about that. You put it out in the universe, someone's going to take it, you know, and do what they want with it.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated with George Lucas, that he came up with this thing. And, you know, if you read the interviews with him, you know, in the 80s, he had all these ideas for films he was going to make, and it was almost like he was haunted by that people loved those films so much and made it.
Yeah.
Like, it was like way more important for other people than it was for
than
him.
Than it even was for him. Yeah. And it's the same way for me too. And it's a lot of pressure and you feel this responsibility. I don't have, I'm not on the same level as George Lucas and what he did with Star Wars, but I do feel a lot of that pressure. And everyone, you know, when the customers, they lash back at a certain season or the collaboration that we've decided to do. And they say, this is everything against what you stand for. And this is everything against what you told me. And, you know, that's hard. That's like a hard thing to deal with because I feel like I'm just doing me, but how they understood it was wrong. And so like, it's funny that when, you know, Star Wars fans, they tell George Lucas, you rate my childhood. I mean, I bet in his head, it's the same response back in that, no, actually you guys raped my childhood. You raped my vision. I wanted it this way. And you made it this other beast. And I just wanted it to stay like how I imagined it. Again, if you are willing to put something you love out there in the universe, you better expect that other people are going to love it and they're going to love it differently and they're going to rape it in the butt. You know, they're going to do unspeakable things to it, but you make that decision, I think, when you decide to do that. Or you can just keep it all to yourself and become, you know, a hermit in the forest and have all your, build your universe and don't have to share with anybody else. And that's another way of doing it. I know artists who do that too.
So in saying that, with you experiencing it with the prequels, do you sort of go, well, that's how he wanted it?
Yeah. As I've grown, when I watched The Phantom Menace for the first time and Jar Jar Binks and Attack of the Clones, and I went through the episode 1, 2, and 3, I was in my 20s still. I was still angry. I was still this teenager that thought I knew what was right and I knew how the universe was supposed to order itself. And this was wrong. And I was very vehement in how I felt about that episode 1 through 3. But as I've grown and as our company's grown and I've experienced just a tiny bit of what George Lucas must have gone through, I empathize with him and I realize, you know what? It's his movie. If you have your own idea of how to create a Star Wars trilogy or a saga, go out and do it yourself, which is what filmmakers do, right? And I've seen some really cool fan-made stuff. And just go out there and do it yourself and see if you can gain enough traction doing your way. And obviously, you're not, you know? But it's his movie. You can't tell him what to do with what his vision was and his dream was. Like, go pursue your own dream. And then deal with your own critics.
And I'm sure this is what a retaliation for both George Lucas and you, what people would say is like, we put you there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, I'm cognizant of that. But at the same time, I don't think for the Hundreds fans, I don't think they, as much as they express that they would love it, they don't want me to pander to them. They don't want me giving them what they ask for, as much as they think they do. If I did that, they would lose respect for me. I'd become predictable. I'd become unoriginal. And then the tables would be turned. I would go from being the purveyor and the designer to just being a tag along. And they look to me and this brand for a certain sense of leadership in whatever sense, you know, as far as a streetwear brand goes, or like as far as like a cool clothing company, they want some kind of leadership. They want me to tell them what to do, whether or not they disagree with it, whether or not they think it's right. They do want me to have an opinion and to assert myself and say, this is what I think is best. So I agree with that.
To hear the full episode, along with hundreds of hours of bonus content, I would invite you to check out the Steel Wars Patreon page at patreon.com/Steel Wars. For just $3 a month, you get a dedicated RSS feed that easily pastes into any podcast app you use, sending the complete archives of Steel Wars episodes along with bonus Patreon exclusives like movie commentaries, Q&As, and shows like the Making Steel Wars show, which I make exclusively for Patreon members with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net, where we try to find the news behind the news. Plus, you'll get the bonus segments from the call-in shows, which sometimes can be over an hour. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm glow that you are supporting this show you listen to each week. The idea behind Patreon is if lots of people chip in a little bit of cash, that content producers such as myself can still keep producing for you guys while still being able to feed our very cute Ewok-looking cats. There's a hungry cat involved in this, guys! As well as some sweet, sweet content. Check out all the super fun tiers and all the shows you're missing out on at patreon.com/Steel Wars. And may that force be with you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.